Y'all ready for this?
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. So. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I like that. It's Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment. Just for you, it's your main man, Marvin Rowe. We got Brother Ryan in the house today. Juice Life. Yeah, we're more than just juice. That's what we talk about today, right here on African American Empowerment Saturday. Call somebody. Tell them. We on the move. Oh, yeah, we ready. Here we come. And you all know that there's no greater love than for self and kind. No greater love than for self and kind. Welcome. Welcome, brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers, to the Empowerment Network. It is 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment for the African-American community. Who's doing that? I know. Yeah, y'all know too. All right, let's keep it moving because we have some things that we need to discuss today. We're focusing on the A today, so we got Brother Ryan coming in. He's going to be talking about juice, right? But it's more than juice. Hang on, though, right? Listen, call somebody, tell somebody. We're going to be getting some information, right? This show is about education, right? For empowerment, right? Knowledge is power. The more we educate ourselves, the better off we will be. And we're going to share the tenets of the NAAEA, right? Those are the pillars of the peace concept, right? You want to know what the peace is, you got to activate it in your life by doing some stuff, right? That is understanding the political system, national, international, local, right? How politics work, and then be able to utilize politics to effectively navigate this system, right? Once we get the system down, we got it, but we got to learn how to play the game. Now, listen, I'm saying learn how to play the game, and I'm saying don't try to be like other people, be yourself, but understand the system that's operating and functioning in and around you, all right? So the next is E, I'm spelling peace. So the P is political, right, or politics, right? The political system, understanding the laws and how they work, right? I'm telling you, right, the jails would be empty in this country if we learn to navigate the system. Think about it. If we started to teach, train, and develop our people to start navigating the system and stay out of harm's way, we'll be just fine. We will. And we can keep some of our men inside of our families. We can keep some of our women, inside of our family. We can do that, right? But we got to keep them outside of the prison gates, right? And give them opportunities to develop themselves so they won't have to turn to crime as an opportunity to feed their families or themselves or get a car, a house, whatever they're trying to endeavor in, okay? We got to understand that system, the law, and how it works. Let's slide on over to the E's, economics. We just went back and forth with that because if you have an economic agenda, right, that really looks at how to develop your people, then we could understand how money works, how to get it, how to capture it, right, and then how to use it as a tool for development. We have to understand the critical and have a critical analysis of finances and how they work and how we can use those to build institutions, right? Don't just go running out spending all of your money. Save some and then look forward to building some type of institution that creates a reality for you that works, right? That then you can engage your family in or your community in where we can help each other, help ourselves. Now for the A, and we're there today, athletics, which is health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. And y'all know that many of us need to push away from the table. And we need to start doing some things that work. We're going to have some discipline, right? Some complete, absolute self-discipline and self-control and self-management and self-regulation to manage ourselves, right? We got to push away from the high sugar intake, the high salt intake in the processed food, fried food too, right? I mean, you can have it in moderation, but that's the key, moderation, right? But you're going to have to eat for your genetics, eat for your diet, and eat for nutrition, not just because it tastes good. I know y'all don't want to hear that, but it's true because we're leading the world in health disparities. Just look it up, right? Our people are sick, and how can we take care of ourselves and prepare the next generation if we're sick? Let me move on. Next is culture, relevant cultural programs. Somebody can repeat this now. Like this one, to help us to navigate ourselves, but get us stronger, right, and more bold, right? More pride, chin up, chest out, where you're confident in who you are and what you're doing. And then lastly, it's a comprehensive education that really looks at how we can become better, right? We've been through a whole lot in this country, and many of us know what that history is. As we continue to educate ourselves to what the history is, we can get better. If we can get these experiences under our belt, get ourselves under control, get systems and strategies and methods in place that's going to work for us, we'll be perfectly fine. Join the NAAEA today, www.naaea.weebly.com. We're looking for you to help us out. And also, today, Slido is in effect. But let me get your brother, Stan, first. Be right back.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, man, we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
Yeah, I just did a really good job of explaining the tenets of the NAAEA, so I'm going to need you to think about how you can utilize them to effectively teach, train, and develop your young people, wherever they are, to understand how to navigate this system. Thank you, Brother Stan, for your dedication and commitment. You're not with us. Commitment. You're not with us in physical, but you're with us in spirit. Let's keep it going, brother. Let's keep it going. And now for my favorite segment, y'all know, Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa with my brother, Brother George. Oh, he was off last week, but he back. Let's see what he's going to bring this week. Y'all ready? Oh, yeah. Come on. Bring it. Hey, wife. Hey, mom. Oh, yeah.
Bring it. What?
Oh, yeah. Bring it on home, brother. We ain't going nowhere. Oh, I like that. Brother George, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, brother. Thank you for the introduction, and I'm glad to be back.
All right. Quite welcome, sir. What you got for us today?
Well, with the Kwanzaa principle of the week from the Azusa Saba is Umoja. Umoja. Unity. To strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, and race.
I like
race
that.
Race and nation. Thank you. The name of this symbol translates literally as bite not each other and represents justice, peace, unity, and harmony. It reminds us to be as forgiving and compassionate as possible with one another in the interest of living peacefully together as brothers and sisters of one human family, Umoja. Now today, brother, for the Willie Lynch segment, this is one of my favorite lecturers, scholars. I'm going to read a piece from Dr. Amos Wilson's book, The Falsification of African Consciousness, Eurocentric History, Psychiatry, and the Politics of White Supremacy. I often point out how a black student can learn Skinnerian psychology better than a white student, and still, as a result of having learned it, be made dumb by it, because it is taught on a race-neutral, non-political level. But I often ask my students whether there is only one way of looking at this situation. Why not look at it politically? This rat is conditioned, and especially it relates to conditions under which it's forced to survive as a result of a set of power relationships. So why not analyze this experiment in terms of power relationship. Based on these terms, we may reach the conclusion that the conditioned rat is socially created. Its personality is a social creation. What it learns is the result of a power differentiation between the rat and the experimenter. Because the experimenter has power over the rat and uses that power to transform and create something new in the rat. As a result of the conditioning experiment, the rat is different from other unconditioned rats. It shows the effect of its conditioning. The experimenter is able to do this because the experimenter has control over the rat's circumstances. We will go further and identify with the rat. We then begin to learn something about ourselves, something of value. We will then have grasped something that can lay the foundation for revolution and change, not a sterile bit of knowledge and information that we can't use. In other words, I've heard Dr. Wilson speak on that many times. And in other words, he says, if you don't understand that we're the rat, then you just wasted your time with that topic. So, Brother Marvin, if you don't have any further questions for me, it's back to you.
All right, Brother George. That was a good one. I like that. I wonder who the rat is. Something to think about. All right. So here's the empowerment question of the week. Are you ready, brother? Oh, what I would like
for you
to do, if you're listening today, go out to Slido. The number today is 228-8568. And I want you to put your answer, right? Your answer, your empowerment question answer out there, along with Brother George, right? Let's see if we can get that together. Slido is in effect today. 228-8568. Here's the empowerment question of the week. What do we have to do to clear our minds of the indoctrination from this nation? What do we have to do to clear our minds from the indoctrination?
Well, I'm going to use Dr. Carter G. Woodson. The definition he gave for how we can clear our minds and how we can re-educate ourselves. He said that sometimes education is a process of pushing things out rather than taking things in. And so it's a lot of stuff that we have to reject that we have learned in the past. And we have to reestablish that by beginning to research and study again as a people. And the more we research about ourselves, because I was telling a brother yesterday that there's no African-American, black, Moor, Negro, whatever you want to call yourself or identify with in this country that experienced the slave experience did not know our history. None of us should not know our history. That should be priority one. Learn who we really are. And so that's basically my answer in a nutshell, brother. We got to start studying and we got to start taking an interest in learning who we are. Because the more we learn who we are, the more we learn who we're not. So I'm very passionate when it comes to that, as you can see. You know, so that's my response, brother.
I like it. Thank you, Brother George. Thank you so much. The brother said you got to learn who you are. Are you willing to commit to finding out what that truth is for yourself? All you have to do is do a little research. Do a little study, right? Take a step back from the programming, right? For just a few minutes or a few days, right? To educate yourself on your history and your culture, right? Step away from the mainstream. Get your feet out the mainstream and get over on the side, on the banks, and figure out who you are and what we need to do as a community to get ourselves out of the situation that many of us are in. And many of us are in the situations we're in because we don't know who we are. The more we learn, the more we know, and the more we know, the more we grow. Mm-hmm. I got that right. Thank you, Brother George. It's African American Empowerment Saturdays, 365 days of You Know What for You Know Who. Guess what? We got segment two coming up with Brother Booker on being the one. Brother Booker, oh, man, are you ready? I believe he is. Bring it.
Oh, yeah.
Like it.
Bring it. What?
We right here. Brother Booker.
Brother Marvin, can you hear me?
All right. It's your turn. Yes, sir. We got part two of being the one. What you got?
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine today. Happy. I'm looking forward to the show.
Yes, sir, brother. Let me first say peace to everyone that's in the sound of my voice today, and may peace be unto you. Last week, you know, we started with characteristics and or qualities of the one, and the first one we talked about last week was the one is honest with himself or herself. This week, number two is the one loves himself or herself. And before I really get into number two, I want to go back to number one again, briefly, because it's imperative, and there's that $100 word imperative, and really all I'm saying is we must be honest with ourselves. We must be honest with ourselves. We must acknowledge the situation that we are in. We must acknowledge that. And because if we don't, we can't go to number two and love ourselves. Because if we're not honest with ourselves, we're not going to say that we hate ourselves. And as a people, as Brother George just was alluding to, we the rat, we don't love ourselves. We don't. We don't. When you love your brother, you don't kill your brother. When you love yourself, mm-hmm. you don't kill your brother. When you love yourself, you don't disrespect your woman, verbally or physically. Mm. You don't disrespect mm-hmm. your children when you love yourself. I'm not saying I agree with everything we as a people are doing. No, but because I love myself and strive to love myself, I understand the actions of my people. I, as a brother mentioned last week, I empathize because I love for my brother what I love for myself, because I love myself. We must be honest with ourselves and admit the situation we are in and learn to love myself, love ourselves. When I love myself, I don't dye my hair blonde. I don't want blue contact lenses. I don't hate my nose. I don't hate my lips, I love myself. I love my physical self, but I also love my mind. I love my mental self. I know who I am. Again, alluding back to what Brother George just mentioned, knowing who you are. That starts, what are we talking about, brother? Being the one. That starts with you. Find yourself in your mind, who you are. We must stop letting others define who we are. We must stop mm-hmm. reading to find who we are. Stop letting others tell us who we are. We think for ourselves, don't we, brother? We say we have an independent mind. We have a mind of our own. That's the God in you, your mind. We know what's in us. We all know what's in us. what's there in us. We know how we feel. We know hatred when we feel it. We know love when we feel it. We know lying when we feel it. When we see it. We know unfaithfulness. We know all of it. It's in us. It shows in us. So bring that goodness or that greatness or the God out of yourself. Love mm-hmm. yourself. And when I love myself, brother, I can't help but to love you. Because when I see you, I see me. I know black folk that will tell me they love themselves, but yet they when they ride through black neighborhoods, they lock the car doors. Mm-hmm. You don't lock the car doors when you go through white neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you should be locking them.
Uh-oh.
Fearful of our own people. That's self-hatred. Be honest with ourselves. Love ourselves. Number two, that's the second characteristic of the one. Love yourself. Tell me Jesus didn't love himself.
All right.
The one.
All right. Thank you, Brother Booker.
Thank you, brother.
Absolutely
Thank you,
great.
Sir.
Become the one, brothers and sisters. Right here on Empowerment Saturday, we have tools and steps, systems and methods to get ourselves together. And Brother Booker is giving us number two today. That's love yourself. Number one is be honest with yourself. Can you do those things? And if you can do those things, you're on your way. Thank you, Brother Booker. Great job again
this week.
And we'll talk to you soon. Appreciate that. All right.
Please.
Learn to be the one, brothers and sisters. It is the way. All right. Now it's time for the show. 845-277-9250. We got Slido in effect today. That number is 2288568. Go out there. Put your comment out there. We got Brother Ryan coming up in just a second. Here we go. Let's bring him in right. Brother Ryan,
you know what to do. Bring it.
Oh, yeah.
Bring it.
We ain't going nowhere, Brother Ryan. Right here. We're going to be listening to you.
Hey, I'm here, Doc. I'm here for
you. All right, Brother Ryan.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm pretty good, man. Thank y'all for having me. Thank y'all for having me, for sure. Definitely excited to be on.
It's our pleasure. It's our pleasure. Now, you mentioned in the production meeting, you talked about telling mm-hmm. your story in order to get to our topic, which is juice life, right? And he said,
okay.
We're more
yes,
than
sir.
Just juice. Can you tell us what that means?
For sure.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and then do your thing.
Okay. All right. So my name is Ryan Williams. I grew up in Richmond. I lived in Churchill for a minute and then grew up on the south side. I went to Richmond Community High School, played football at Georgeville, went to Union and VCU. I worked a whole lot of jobs to realize that I ain't really want to work for nobody else.
All right.
But I was a firefighter from 2015 to 2020. And 2020 is when I opened my brick-and-mortar Juice Vibe RVA in Chaco Bottom.
Okay.
But leading up to, before we got to the brick-and-mortar, a lot happened before then. So to start out, I was always health conscious, and you know God's always been first in my life. So when it came down to you know, I had a family, a beautiful son and daughter, and I was married, and I was about 30 years old. This was 2015. So I went on a fast. I went on a spiritual fast. Like each year, I would go on a fast. I would do a 40-day fast, and I would. Cut out all the meat, but I would always fast just trying to get, you know, it would be a spiritual fast. And I'm trying to get closer to God, but I always found health benefits every time I did it. And it would be like intermittent fast. And I would fast throughout the day. And then when it was time to eat at night, I would do that. But one year, and this was 2015, I went on a 40-day fast and I was asking God for an idea and wisdom to go with it. And so, you know, I'm like, at the end of the fast, that's what I want to have from God, you know. And I feel like what I've learned over the years is, and I'll be 40 this year, but what I learned was over my life, I learned that God recognizes sacrifice. So I feel like that's pretty much his go-to move. So if I'm made in the image of God and I love myself, like Brother Booker said, you know, I should be able to I should be able to be like God. So what I did was I went on my 40-day fast. At the end of the – well, during the fast, my mom, she was dealing with cancer. And I started making juices. I did a lot of research on juicing. Once I found out, you know, that when I was fasting, I needed to kind of replenish my body for what I was doing throughout the day. I was actually working for a moving company at the time. I was driving tractor trailers, mm-hmm. Moving people out of their homes. And I needed something to replenish myself while I was fasting during the day. And I couldn't do smoothies. And so I found out about cold-pressed juicing. And I started making juices, and I'm like, wow. I started reading all the benefits. I would go to the library during this fast. Part of my fast was that I had to read and study something outside the Bible. But I needed to, you know, just whatever it was, I needed to make sure I'm doing something to help myself live longer and to be able to help the people around me. So I'm researching juicing. I didn't know that this was going to be the idea that I was fasting for. But what I did was I would go to the library three times a night. I would go to VCU library three times a week. I would go in like 9:55 because you had to show your ID at 10 o'clock, and I didn't have a VCU ID anymore. So I would go in from 9 to like maybe 1 o'clock in the morning and just learn everything I could about juicing and the benefits and things of that nature. And then that, as a business, I ended up finding out about it more as I went to the library. But during that fast, I was fasting, and my mom, she was dealing with cancer. And so while she was in the hospital, I started making these juices for her. And the juices I made for her, they were all cold-pressed juices. They were fruit and vegetable blends, and she was kind of like she was one of my taste testers during it, but it turns out that these were the only things that she could keep down while she was in the hospital. She couldn't really swallow food. Like, it was just a lot that she couldn't do. So made those for her. The people in the hospital started finding out about it, made some juices for them as well. At the end of the fast, I had an interview with the fire department, and I didn't want to go to the interview because every interview I went to, I got the job, and I didn't want this to be a distraction to whatever God idea was coming up. Because, you know, I kind of had a feeling that it was going to be something with business, but I wasn't sure what it was. But I know for me, the way I see things, the biggest distraction for a great business idea would be a really safe job. And I don't know if y'all know too much about the fire department, but it's not that easy to get fired there. Like, a lot of people working there for a long time. And it's a, you know, that's a real reliable job, man. You got a check coming in, and, you know, it's just a great opportunity overall. So I ended up going to the interview, and this was the last day of the fast. So this is the 40th day of the fast, and I'm still looking for my idea from God. And I'm like, all right, now, I didn't give up meat. I didn't give up all the cheese, all the stuff I like. You know, I'm really sacrificing right now. So, and I know he moves. Like, every time I fast, God moves with me. So I went to the interview. At the end of the interview, I was looking for a food trailer that had juice. I don't know what made me look for that. I know I was downtown, and I saw a lot of food trucks. And I was like, all right, I'm drinking juice now. So I'm trying to find, you know, I'm just trying to find something close enough. And so I ended up, I went all the way to Elwood Thompson. I stopped at a bunch of food trucks. I saw paninis, chickens, salads, you know, hot dogs and stuff. And I went all the way to Elwood Thompson, the health food store at the time. And they had like a small juice bar. So I went in there, I got some beet juice, and I was sitting in the car. And I'm thinking, I'm like, man, I went all the way out my way, way on the other side of town. I planned on going somewhere else, but because I couldn't find juice in the food trailer, then, you know, I had to come out here. And I said to myself, if there was one downtown, then I would have went there. And I probably would have paid more just because I know what it is. And really, I just want all my friends and my family to know about the benefits of juicing. Like, you know, the way we grew up, I like pork chop sandwiches and barbecue and everything else that comes with, soulful eating. So I said, if I would have went downtown and I could have found a juice bar or a food trailer, then I would have went there. And then that was my answer. And I was like, okay. So my answer is really fasting. And so that's what I was praying for. And again, I asked God for an idea and wisdom to go with it to take the family to the next level. That was the other part. So I went into that, and, you know, I didn't have a background in juicing or nutritional health or any of those things. But the more I studied it, the more I knew that I needed it, and the people around me needed it too. And so that day I called a friend of mine. We sat down, and I was like, hey, look, we always come up with business ideas. It was myself, Chance, and like three or four of our other friends. And we always try to, you know, just try to come up with some business idea because we didn't want to keep working. And Chance stuck with me on the idea, and he helped me develop some things with it. And so from there, we called a guy. We got a food trailer built, and then we start doing events. But I also got hired by the fire department. So it was kind of a struggle going through the fire training academy and trying to start a business. Like, I'm Googling zoning permits and, you know, different words that are found in business that I had no idea about. And so, you know, from there, I kind of, you know, I went downtown, went to City Hall, you know, found all the paperwork I needed. And what I did was I always heard different things about, you know, working at the city and trying to get your business off the ground. And what I was saying was, this is not my idea. This is God's idea. So whatever, you know, like whatever come with it, I'm with it. And so I went downtown, and I just kind of embraced the runaround, and people pointed me in the right direction. I had a lot of favor going through with it, but I had to work a lot. And I had a lot of trial and error with juices. I juiced garlic, I juiced onions, I juiced everything just to kind of make sure that I was, yeah. That was a bad idea. I don't have any onions or garlic in any of my juices now. But the ones I make for myself at home, I might have some of that in there. Yeah, I learned a lot from it. You know, I had a lot of benefits myself. The inflammation in my knee went away. My eyesight got better a year after I started juicing. My eyesight went from being able to see line 5 during the physical to line 6 the next year, then line 7 the next year, and my glasses were gone. I don't even wear glasses anymore, so it's been working for me so far. And let's see, what else? So now I got a food truck built, and I'm in the fire department, and I'm learning fire on one side, trying to save lives over there, and then also still studying as much as I can about the juice business now and the health benefits of it. And, you know, it was just a lot of hard work. My juicing sessions, I would juice overnight. I would juice from like 11 o'clock at night to 6 o'clock in the morning just because I didn't have any distractions right then. And then I would go to work from 7 a.m. I would juice, take a shower. First, I had to juice in my uncle's church. And this is like, this is at the Temple of Judah. I had to take everything up to the third floor. I had to take my machinery up there, all my produce, everything. And working overnight. And then in the morning, I would throw everything in my cooler, put it in my trunk, drive to the fire station, and, you know, work my 24-hour shift. And also, while I was doing that, while I was trying to build my business, I didn't have capital or anything. I didn't have any loans or anything. So the money I did make that was extra came from me doing side job moves. Because I used to work for the moving company, and then I started doing that myself on the side. And that's how I paid for a lot of the things I needed to pay for with Juice Life. And so eventually I started selling it out of my trunk in that cooler. I would take that cooler, fill it up with ice. And every time I came to like a leap of faith moment, like I would get discouraged. A lot of people was asking me, like, why would you try to open a juice bar in Richmond? Why would you want to do this? Why would you want to do this? And my answer was, y'all got to talk to God. You know what I'm saying? Y'all got to talk to God because this wasn't my idea. So, and I would always remind God, and he would make a way for me every time. Every time I would question if this was my purpose or should I be doing this, something would happen where at the last second, something would just come through. And, you know, a lot of people start getting blessed by it, man. A lot of blood pressure start going down. You know, people on diabetes, I start making juices, like, specific for that, for, like, different things. I always try to pinpoint the ailment when I'm making the juice. But to keep the timeline, I started doing events, Browns Island, just different farmers markets, and I kind of made a name for myself as far as just being out there, just trying to make sure I'm everywhere, because I was told that Juice Life was going to be worldwide by a total stranger when I was pulling my trailer, and I was about to set up at one of the banks. I think I was going to SunTrust back then. I was going to SunTrust every other pay week. I would go to one in the West End and one on South Side, and, you know, I had customers there. Then I worked it so that I was able to set up in the lobbies, and, you know, a lot of people embraced it. And so I'm selling out my trunk, and I mean, I probably delivered to every part of Richmond, Chesterfield, Henrico, everywhere. But I really wanted everybody to know that, you know, you got other options than medicine. And so my mom, while I was helping her with her juice, she ended up beating the cancer, and, you know, things went well for her for a while. Some years later, she passed from some other complications, but what she wanted for me, what she told me before she passed, she said, I want you to be happy in life, and I want you to do well with Juice Life. And so that's been like a driving force with me, you know, throughout this whole journey, because we got a long way to go as far as the goals I see for Juice Life, but we are making waves. Like, we are making great progress, and we are touching a lot of lives. And so back on that timeline, I'll just fast forward to us getting the brick and mortar in Chaco Bottom, and that's at 117 North 20th Street in Chaco Bottom, right by American Tobacco Center Apartments. We're there 2019. I found the spot. You know, I went into it. I didn't have a commercial agent to help me out with finding the spot, so I learned a lot. I learned a lot in the last 3 years since we've been open, but 2019 is when I started paying rent and we started building out. So I'm just working hard the whole time, but we're not even open yet. And so I was still selling juice out of my trunk, still working at the fire department, still paying for equipment, doing side jobs and things of that nature. So 2019 to 2020, we start dealing with COVID, and so we couldn't open until October of 2020. So it's a whole year later. We finally opened up, and while I was in the fire department, I said I was going to give it 3 to 5 years. Well, I said I was going to give it 3 years, and then an older firefighter told me to give it 5, and I'm like, okay, because he said, look, time flies here, and then I realized that after 5 years, I would be vested. So I ended up staying 5 years, and my 5th year was June of 2020. I went to the fire department June 15th of 2015. And so June 15th of 2020, that was my 5th year. And so October of 2020 is when I left. My last day going in, you know, like, it just got to the point where I was trying to get firefighters to cover for me at work so I can work at the juice bar now. And it just got to the point where I just had to make a decision. And I always tell people in business, you know, whatever you're doing, just, like, go for what you're going for, but create a script and stick to it. And then you'll be able to see if what you have actually works. It's almost like going on a diet. And you got a 30-day diet, but you don't do all 30 days. So you can't really say that the 30 days didn't work because you didn't stick to the script. So what I did was I created a script, I stuck to it, and I would tell, like, I told people, like, you got to believe in God, you got to, you know, stick to your script. And part of my script was leaving in 5 years. And so my 5th year was here, and I felt the expiration at the fire department. I was still doing great things there. We still helping people, but, you know, I started having people that were dependent on the juices. And so I always wanted to, any business idea I had, I always wanted to try to meet a need, and I started realizing this is a need. And I know for some things and for all things for me, if it's a need and I don't have it, God gonna supply it. And so now people start depending on this as a need. And so God just been pushing everything at me, just throwing everything at me, and, you know, just giving me these things to give to them. So what I do every day in the juice bar now is before we start, I always start off with a prayer every morning. I let everybody know. I say, look, you don't have to hold hands. I'm not forcing you to pray. You don't even have to listen. But if you want to, you can. And so every morning I start off and I pray that everyone that comes into the juice bar or that's even connected to the juice bar or even mentioned it or somehow tries to support, I just pray that they're blessed spiritually, physically, emotionally. And if it's a change of attitude for the day, let it be that, or just let them leave better than they came. And then I pray that the fruits and vegetables do what they were created to do and heal. And so that's how I start off every day. And whoever's working in there, I pray for them. It's just some people that's walked in while we're doing our prayer, and they like, thank God I came in at this time. So, you know, that's how we start out the day. And, you know, that's just a thing. Like, that's part of me keeping God first in my business, because that's the foundation of it for me. I mention God a lot because, you know, I got a lot of faith in God. Like, God hasn't failed me yet. And also, you know, a lot of times I would be in business, restaurant business pretty much, and things would happen that were too big for me to believe in or too big for my faith at times. So when I put my faith in God, it's a wrap. Like nothing is too, you know, nothing is too much. So, you know, I just been staying on assignment and just working, man. Just working and, you know, embracing everything that comes, every part of it. So now we are 3 years in as of October of last year. October of last year was our second year anniversary, and then this will be our third full year by October. So time has been flying by, but we still open, and we're still, you know, affecting people around us. And I pray that the impact triples and doubles every year. So, you know, community-driven, we do a lot. You know, we're here now, and now I just want everybody to be able to taste the juice, and I want everybody to know about it, and I want everybody to hear the testimonies that come from them. So just want to give people a better option. Even if you don't stop eating what you're eating, you know, as long as you add these juices to your diet, it's going to be a better day for you and a better day at the doctor as well. So, now we're here. We're here now. I'm actually at the location right now in Chaco Bottom. At first it was just juice, and now it's to the point where I'm just trying to, build like a whole holistic man. So we deal with like the mental health here. We deal with, the physical part. I'm starting Juice Bite Fitness. We do a thing called Zen and Juice every Saturday morning. We do rooftop yoga, and you get a juice with it, and we got one of the best yoga instructors every time we do it. And then we do a First Thursday's art show every month. Like, I let artists come in, let them hang their art. As a matter of fact, this Thursday coming up is going to be First Thursday, and that's always from 6 to 9 at the juice bar. And I cook vegan food. We have good music. We might have a live painting going on. And we'll do wine, or we'll offer juice complimentary. So this month we're doing something a little bit different where I'm letting all the artists come in, like a bunch of artists. They're all going to be hanging their art up, and I just charge them like $20 a piece that they're hanging on the wall, and everybody gets to, you know, spread the love. And it's always a good networking opportunity, too, here at Juice Life, just because we always try to have the right people here. And, like, you know, my customer base is a pretty wide range, but it's a lot of great people that want to live. Like most of the people that come in, they have thought about their life. So I feel like it's like a higher level consciousness kind of business. You know, not to rag on McDonald's, but it's like that's for convenience. But this one is for living. So, you know, people come in with expectations and, you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a, you know, I'm not a miracle worker or anything, but I know how to point you in the right direction. So that's what we do there. And then I offer vegan food as well. We just had a big group of kids from the Rock Project on the South Side. They came by the juice bar, I think, last month. And we did the vegan burgers for them. We talked to them about being healthy, about making good choices, listening to your parents, advice from your parents, from their point of view. We did some sound bowl healing. They took turns and kind of learned about it. And, you know, they were able to be still for a moment. We talked about yoga. I took them to the rooftop of the building, let them see their city. A lot of them, this was their first time actually being, you know, being up there high and being able to see something or see their city that way. And they felt great about it. And I told them, look, y'all can go home and tell your mama and your daddy or auntie, whoever you live with, that y'all are part-time vegans now. And they, you know, they all crushed the sandwiches. They enjoyed it. And then the day before that, we went to myself and one of the coworkers, Daryl. He came in and we taught a group of kids aged 11 to 16 how to make their own juice, the benefits of it. And then I told them, you know, if any of y'all come into the shop this weekend, y'all get one free juice on me. And like a lot of them brought their family members in. And so it was a great time with that too. So now we're starting to do more with the kids. Like we let kids come into the juice bar. Sometimes we go out. The group that I went to with the 12 to 16 age range, or 11 to 16, that was the Brook Road Youth Farm. And so we went to their church and we went over there and went into the kitchen and just kind of gave them a juice bag experience. And so I just want to reach everybody, man. We're getting certified as city vendors now too, so we can, you know, we can be accessible in the schools, different city events, wellness fairs, and things of that nature. You know, just trying to touch the most lives in a positive way, and you know, just build up the city. So that's where we are now. Yeah.
Brian, I love it, man. I love a man that's following
God.
Yeah,
working hard.
Right?
Yes, sir.
You can't go wrong following God. You can't.
No, not at all.
Right? He's going to lead you, guide you, and direct you. And I really love the fact that you have prayer inside of your business. Right? It's not about religion. It's about relationship. Right? And your story describes to our people what the relationship is like when you humble yourself. Right? So let's talk about that for a minute. I just want to kind of unpack a little bit of what you discussed with us, because your story is really powerful, man. I'm inspired that you are able to share your story and have a vision that you can actually say, this is what I did and this is where I am. And so there's a relationship between the spiritual life that you talked about. There's a relationship between the actual juice itself, right? And then your willingness to submit, right, to the higher power in your life to take you on the journey. So let's go back to when you got started, right?
Okay.
You said you started out fasting, right? So tell us briefly, right, what were the elements of your initial fast? Now, I'm not suggesting that anybody that's listening take that on because it's challenging, but can you talk about the discipline it requires to actually get to that space?
Yes, sir. So, with my fast, so I learned about fasting, you know, I've been in church all my life. I played the drums at the Temple of Judah for a lot of years, and it's both my parents are preacher's kids. So I know the word, and I know church, but it wasn't until, you know, I grew up and then I was living on my own where I was like, okay, all right, I'm going to need some I need some help from somewhere. But now I'm a grown-up, you know what I'm saying? So I leaned on my relationship with God, and I actually started reading the Bible. I started reading and actually studying the Bible like, like it was pretty much like it was a textbook. And so I went through vocabulary. I went through characters, and I just learned, you know, I just started learning the word, and I really started applying it in my life. And, you know, it started to work for me. Like, I would do things and God would show up. So, like, I would always be reminded, like, I'm always, like, different things that God showed me as far as, like, you know, me being able to exercise my faith. I could always lean on that. So when it came time to it, it's easy for me to submit when I know, like, I know the results. I know the results. I don't know how we're going to get there every time, but I'm not in control. So that's out of my hands. Anytime it's out of my control is in God's hands. And so the more I fasted, like, I used to be the person that goes to the cookouts and everybody's auntie is saying, baby, get some more. And I'm like, you ain't got to tell me twice. I'm going to go ahead and fill this plate up as high as it can go. And then we're going to kind of start there. And so for me to not eat pork and then not eat beef and then not eat chicken, cut everything off for a month, I had to replace it with something. So, you know, if I'm not eating, then I start replacing it with whatever it is to get closer to God. I would just pretty much compare it to God. And I say, is God strong or is this strong? Anytime the temptation would come, I would do it like that. Pretty much compare them. Every time God went. And so it was easy for me to be a little more obedient. And, well, I won't say easy. None of it was easy. There's always temptation everywhere of different types. But, you know, I was able to start locking in. And, like, the more I fasted, like, the closer I got to God, the more God would reveal stuff to me. So it's like, why would I not want to be close to the source? You know what I'm saying? So
that's right.
But each year, so maybe when I was like 25, 26, that's when I really started getting serious just about knowing more. Because I'm like, you know, I've been in church the whole time, but I'm like, I'm trying to think of a reason not to trust God. And it just kept leading me back to him. And so, you know, as I start fasting, one year I would knock off beef, one year I knocked off pork. I just end up not going back to those things. I'll talk more about the fast. So when I first started learning about fasting, I was young. And so I was in a youth ministry, and Pastor Darren would say, y'all don't have to, you know, nutrition might not be the thing that you need to fast from. It could be anything. It could be talking on the phone too late. It could be, you know what I'm saying, your favorite TV show. Do yourself a favor and sacrifice that and spend time with God. So part of my fast, by the time I got to 2016, my fast consisted of me not sitting on the couch just because I couldn't get work done on the couch. Some people are comfortable. They can sit in their robe and, you know, sit on the couch and work. But if I do that, I'm falling asleep. So I would actually, like, part of my fast was making sure I had to get up before 5 o'clock. I had to do at least 500 push-ups in the morning. I would have to pray for at least an hour, no sitting on the couch. But when I got up in the morning, I was actually having meetings with myself. I would get up as if I'm going into my office, whatever office that was, but it was actually the kitchen. And so I would go to the shower, get dressed up, like I'm like the owner of whatever business this is. And we sitting down having a meeting, and my meeting would consist of the people who I look up to, whether they be celebrities or whether they just be, you know, a family member who's older, and I would ask, like, what would they say with this? Because a lot of times, you know, people can come in, you know, moguls, like, you know, just big-time people will come in, and they can just look at one thing and say, hey, dude, this is where your location is. These are the type of people you have. Why don't you have this there? And then you put that there, and then, you know, everybody's rich forever. So I would have those kind of conversations, and just they were meetings with myself, but I would have the other people in mind, like, what would he say about this? What would this person do about this?
Wow.
And so that was part of my fast. The other part was, like, was just making sure that I had at least 2 to 3 meetings every morning. not every morning, but 2 to 3 meetings every week. And I had to read something, something that would edify me, just so I can start reading more. What else? And now, as far as the food goes, I wouldn't do anything white. I wasn't doing white bread, no white rice, you know, no dairy, of course, no meat, no fish. You know, a lot of people, like when I said I won't eat meat, they say, oh, but you eat fish, right? Like, nah, that's meat to me, doc. So, you know, and really at a really early age, I start to learn about, so I did a project and I started to learn about the fruits and vegetables and like fruits and vegetables versus meat. And what I learned was, my project was I had to take a carrot, I put 4 toothpicks in it, I filled a cup up with water, and I set the carrot in the water. And then I had to measure the length of the leaves that grew out of it. And so that's when I realized, I was like, wait a minute, this plant's still alive. But it's the carrot I bought from the grocery store. And so I was just putting it together. I'm like, so if I eat this, then I'm eating life. That's how I looked at it. And so that's always stuck with me. And it was, you can eat life, or you can put life into your body, and you can put death into your body. And that's how I looked at it. That was just my personal how I looked at it. And I felt different when I always put life in my body. You know what I'm saying? And so now we fast forward to the juices, and now with the carrot, I learned even more just from me studying, you know, and just from me fasting, asking for an idea, and God put me in that place where, okay, now you need some juice, and the people around you need some juice. So I started studying the carrot, and I started studying all these different fruits and vegetables, and I learned that it was actually more beneficial for me to drink it because I learned about the digestive system. And so, you know, that was just part of it that led me to that. But then also even on my fast, another thing on my fast, I didn't do secular music. I only did music that edified me. And also, what else? It was no secular music. I had no idea how, you know, how much of an impact it had on me until I cut it for a minute. But that, and what else? A bunch of stuff, man. I always put a lot of stuff on my plate when it comes to fasting, just so I can take up all the time that I have so that I'm productive. Like, everything I do has to be moving forward. I wasn't resting as much. I didn't know I needed to rest as much, but I know now. But now, like, so now when I fast, there's a certain amount of hours I have to reach while I'm sleeping. I need to reach 6 hours. So that means I have to go to bed earlier. It means I have to set a better schedule for myself. So I got to be more organized. So a lot of stuff I do is strategic to kind of psych myself out. So, you know, the way I fast is I do what I do, but I always replace things that I take away. And I try to create habits with that. So, you know, fasting for me is like really, like, I feel like I'm superhuman when I'm fasting because it's not me. It's more of a spiritual being, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then I even see things more clear. And really, I can dream better. Like, I can see the vision that God gives me for real. So, but even now, like, I'm vegan now, and that came from me going on all these different fads. Never planned on going vegan, said I would never do it, but I'm working on a vegan cookbook right now. So, you know.
All right.
Yeah. So that's how my fast was. And I stuck with it for 40 days, and I felt, oh, my God, I felt great.
You my kind of guy. So 40 days, let's talk about that real quick, right? Fasting for 40 days, you know that's on Jesus level stuff, right?
For sure. For sure.
Yeah, most dudes say most people not going to fast past 3 to 5 days, period. 40 days is good, so, right? So tell us about your 40 days.
So during that time, during that 40-day fast, this was 2015, so I had a 2-year-old, a 1-year-old. I was 3 years into marriage. I just had a lot to do. But while I was fasting on those 40 days, like, so many different things happened. Like, I started to meet people that I needed to meet that I didn't know I was going to need to meet, but I started to meet people and, like, doors started opening for me for business where I just, I know they wouldn't have happened that way had I not been fasting, had I not been cutting things out and not going different places. I cut out the alcohol. I wasn't smoking, but, you know, I just cut out anything that wasn't good for me. And when I was fasting, I would not be around the people and the influences who would participate in anything that I was not doing. You know what I'm saying? And so now I got more alone time with God, and my eyesight got better. It was a trip. Like, anytime I fast for a long period of time, really, once you get past those 3 days, I started off the first 3 days, I did a dry fast the first 3 days, and then I went to water, and I went to vegetables, and I was kind of like on a, more like a Daniel fast, pretty much, and that's, it was almost okay. that for 40 days. What else was that on there? That part, I just learned a lot. I had more dreams, and God just started making stuff seem more attainable. Like my perception on some things changed, and just the ideas that God started dropping in my soul. I was like, what in the world? How? Like, this don't make no sense, but it ain't nowhere else. I don't see no juice box. Nowhere. nowhere. There was only one juice bar. So I'm actually the first black-owned juice bar in Richmond. And I don't really, you know, I don't say that a lot, but people ask me about it, and, you know, that's what it is. But
all right.
This wasn't an idea of mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard that.
So
that's powerful.
Yeah, yeah, that is something great. It is, it is. But even still, I never wanted to lead with support me because I'm black. I just wanted to have the best quality business, period. And so I will always
lead
in love. And I feel like greatest in the kingdom is a servant. You know what I'm saying? So, and I feel to be a king, like, you have to be able to serve your community. And so that's what God's been putting in me. Like, a lot of these things came together for me during the fast, man. Those 40 days. So the first 3 days, dry fast, and I went to water. The only liquid I was drinking was water until I found out about juice. So maybe halfway through the fast, I saw a video called Six Fat and Nearly Dead, and I saw a person do a 60-day juice cleanse. And he did that, and he ended up, he was on, I think, 9 to 12 medications. By the 60th day, he was off of all the medications. He dropped 90 pounds, and he just kept pushing it. He just kept pushing it past that, yeah. And so I learned so much because they made it so simple. And so I watched it, and, you know, I kind of got inspired by that, and I'm like, wow, he can do this. I need to tell my people about this. My people got to know about this. You can't not know and be here. So, you know, that was me spreading the word. But, like, close to the end of the fast, and for real, that fast, man, it definitely changed my life. Like, the doors that opened for me were just amazing. And the doors were actually people, and the people I needed to move in place. Like, there were some things that I wanted to do, some places that I, some spots that I actually saw that I wanted to open up a juice bar at. And just a lot of things didn't happen until the end of the fast. You know, I was able to pretty much break through. Hold on one second. I was pretty much, you know, able to break through barriers, you know, that were kind of set there for me. Yeah. And so, yeah, by the time that 40th day got here, I was standing at the top of the hill in Churchill overlooking Chaco Bottom. And I was looking at the city line, and I saw a big green building sprouting out of it. And in my mind, what I saw was Juice Life headquarters. And I hadn't even came up with the name for it yet. But I looked at the city line, and I still go up there now and look at it. And I see the big green building popping out the skyline. And, you know, that's what I saw. That's what I saw. And so that's what my eyes have been.
Wow. All right.
You're listening live to Empowerment Saturday. It's African American Empowerment Saturday. 845-277-9250. We got Brother Ryan, right? Incredible story. Juice
yes,
Life.
Sir.
So how'd you get the name Juice Life? We're going to go to the lines in just a minute. How'd you get the name Juice Life? And then
okay.
We'll go over to Slido as well.
So the name Juice Life, at the time, what was like trending on social media was whatever subject you like, people would just add life to it. But for me, you know, at the time, I kind of used that as like a play on words. So I'm like, well, Juice Life. You got, you know, you got school life. You got all these different other life that people just adding anything to. And I saw that Juice Life wasn't taken. And even when I started putting the name together, the juice, so we made it all one word, Juice Life RVA. But the way we spelled it was all lowercase juice, capital L-I-F-E, and lowercase RVA. Because it wasn't about where we were, and it wasn't really about the juice. It was really about, you know, just adding more life. And so that's why we made life the big thing, because it's not just about juice. Like, even now, it's not just about juice. Like, there's people that come there, really, they come in there for prayer half the time. A lot of them. I didn't even know.
Wow.
But they were coming there really because I heard somebody say, I wonder if he knows that I'm not just coming here because I like the business, but this is a safe space for me. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, wow, okay. So it's not just about the juice. And then even now, I let my kids come in there. My kids know how to run the register. They know how to pick the juices. They know how to do everything that I do in there. They can pretty much do it. And my son just turned 9, and my daughter's 11 now. But they've been in there since brick and mortar. And they've actually been my taste testers, because I know a lot of grown-ups just ain't honest. And so I don't want nobody telling me the juice tastes good. I want to hear, for real, the age range right after, from about 12, I'd say from about 12 to, 65. I don't mess with them folks. But the kids and the older folks, I'm with them, because they're going to be honest with me every time. So my kids were the taste testers, and they let me know how everything tastes. And that's why I was able to make it good, but, you know, still make sure that you get the benefits of the beets and the kale and all the stuff people are scared of. So,
That's great.
Yeah, so we're adding life right now. Yes, sir.
All right. Life. RVA, got Brother Ryan, live this Empowerment Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was going to say one more thing about the name. We made it Juice Life. If you ever see our logo, you'll see Juice Life, and you'll see the black hand squeezing the carrot. And the reason why it doesn't have RVA in there is because I want to be able to add whatever the new locations are on there. So you got Juice Life RVA. I want to do Juice Life DMV. Right now we're in a bunch of different. We're in three different apartment buildings now with contactless fridges. That's the Hydro Apartments, the Lox Tower, and even Falls Tower Apartments. We're in there, and then today is actually the first day of us being on the shelves in Shindig over. And, the fan area. So
all right.
Whenever our next location, our brick and mortar comes, we're going to put a name on it. Juice Life DMZ.
All right. I like that.
Yeah.
So do you ship as well?
We haven't started shipping yet. I'm projecting September that we'll be shipping.
Okay.
But we do deliver. We deliver through DoorDash, Uber Eats, Grubhub. And then we just started doing gallons and half gallons as well. So we'll be adding subscriptions and a few other things there. Yep.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Ryan. Let's go over to Slido for a minute.
Yes, sir.
Let me give you the Slido number just in case you want to get in, because the Slido is loaded today. So I want to get that, and then I want to get to the lines as well. Slido number again today is Slido.com, Slido.com. Use code 2288. 568. Slow it down, Marv. Slow it down. 2288568. Did I get it, Ryan?
Yes, sir. You got it, Doc.
All right. Slido.com. Let's go on over to Slido. Here's your first question, Ryan. Do you believe there is a link between mental health issues and the American diet? Do you believe there's a link between mental health issues and the American diet?
Definitely. Definitely. The link between mental health issues and, a lot of foods that we eat, they clog our arteries. And, you know, in short, it's stopping the flow of blood to the brain.
Mm.
And it causes you to make different decisions. When you're not really being properly fed, like when you know, if everything is noodles and, you know, just a bunch of things that are convenient for the pocket. And, you know, some of us don't, like, we live in food deserts, so we deal with that. But, when you can't really get it, like, you can't get the food you need and the proper nutrients, the blood can't flow right. It's not going to flow right. And, like, the sugar is just going to be sitting on the outside because it's not natural sugar. And, you know, you got a bunch of things that you got to deal with that that's actually going to change your moods. I got a book that talks about the different benefits, the different spiritual benefits of foods and things of that nature. So, you know, outside of affecting the mood and you know, your approach to life, the food definitely has a huge impact on it. Definitely has a huge impact on it. And then even like, you know, so this is something I'm not really a big fan of, the American diet and how they kind of, you know, push different things and tell you to eat steak and eat this and that. Now, everybody, to each his own. Y'all do y'all thing. Whoever's listening, I ain't trying to step on
their
toes. I'm
going to say it. Y'all need to stop listening to them. That's all I'm going
to say. I'm trying to tell you, man, because we're going to find out who cloned Tyrone.
Uh-oh.
But,
uh-oh.
Yeah, man.
That's going to be a show.
See? There you go. But yeah, man, yes. My answer is yes. I think it plays a big part in it. And, you know, not to brag, but my children aren't vegan. I still let them choose what they want to choose, but I just give them all the information. And the way I started them out, they didn't get the Kool-Aid and they didn't get the cereal in their bottle. By the time they were like 5 or 6, we had already been cutting all of their juice with water. So we just kind of started that off just because I know I love Kool-Aid and I love iced tea. And I love everything. Everything that comes with growing up as a kid in Richmond, I wanted all of that. But you still got to be able to know that you got other options of things that do taste good. And so, true. Both my kids, they pretty much straight-A students. They eat healthy. They're not the healthiest kids in the world, but I know I try to personally just give them a head start and just give them a lot of tools because they're going to make their own decision. You know what I'm saying? Like, the best thing I can do is, you know, make my best decision for them. And that's what I talked to the younger kids about that came to the shop the other day. We talked about your parents are going to make the best decision. Like, most of the things they're doing for you, this is the best decision that they make. Like, this is the one that they came up with. And so I told them, while y'all got YouTube and y'all got all these other things y'all looking up, start looking up things that are going to be healthy and that's going to kind of cause you to live long. You know what I'm saying? And share it with your mama. Share it with your parents. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, that's where we're at with that.
Well, Ryan, I'm glad, right, you know, because a part of the tenets of the NAAEA is what we call the A, and it's athletics, which is health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, mental health, physical health, and emotional health, and you're touching on them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're really embodying the A because we have to be able to take care of our bodies and our minds, right, and our health. Our health is our wealth. And so what you have described is the mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual aspects of healing, right, yourself, but also being able to have a spiritual life, right, inside of that. Here's some things that you mentioned, just in case you plugged in. 845-277-9250. We're talking to Brother Ryan about juice today, right, and how he transformed his life into a spiritual life and even a business by just following God. So here's some things he talked about. Reading, prayer, fitness, he did some push-ups, changed his diet, stopped listening to certain music, which helped him to get organized, right? And so he had to create some habits to get clarity. He has clarity in his dreams. He gets visions from God. Mm-hmm. This is powerful stuff, y'all. And it's a practice, right? So continue do the practice and develop practices that work for you. And as African Americans, as people of color who've been marginalized, who have health issues, who have mental health issues, who have issues in the society, this is a great foundation for reinventing yourself mentally, physically, and emotionally. Mm-hmm. So I'm proud of you, brother. I got to meet you. I'm coming down to your shop. What's the address again?
Man.
Is that 17 North 20th Street?
Chaco Bottom. 117
All right, Chaco
North
Bottom.
20th Street. 117. Yes,
117.
Yep.
All right, 117 North 20th Street. All right. Well, we're right down the street from you. We're on Main Street, 2025 East Main Street. So we're kind of neighbors. But we got to get together,
right?
So you said some amazing things, man. You got an art show going. You got Zen and Juice. Come on,
Zen
now.
And Juice.
That's good.
Yeah, Zen and Juice.
Right?
Yeah, I love that
You got yoga.
Yeah.
You got vegan food. You got youth development going on. Now, you got a little music going over there. Is that First Thursday?
Yeah.
Again, tell us real quick. We're going to go to the
line, y'all.
But tell us about First Thursday, man. We need to get down there.
So, So First Thursday is – so my business is kind of like alive. So a lot of things are still being developed, but we just got it to the point where every First Thursday – so it actually started on First Fridays. So I did a First Fridays event, and there was a thing I was trying to – I actually wrote this idea out maybe like 2019, like when I first got to the spot. But the idea was to allow artists to bring in their work and showcase their art. I would let them come in on a First Friday, let them hang up everything. They might do a live painting, but we would do like vegan burgers. We kind of did like a wine down night at the same time. So we had wine. I cooked vegan burgers. And then we did, and we had music and we had the live painting. And so now we're opening up to different artists where they can come to the Juice Bar. They can actually hang their art up. And we're doing, like, we're not just doing one artist now. We're doing a plethora of artists. So we got all these different types of artwork, all these different artists coming together. So, you know, be able to network, be able to find out about the Juice, to, you know, bring people in who aren't normally doing vegan things. You know, be able to, you know, just help them live like a healthier life. But it's definitely a vibe. Like, anytime you come to the Juice Bar, it's always going to be a great feeling there because we start out with prayer. But also, it's just a really nice setup in there, man. Yeah, it's definitely a nice setup. But it's 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock every First Thursday. I wanted to get out the way of all the First Friday people because they kind of already got their thing going. So this next Thursday coming up, y'all can meet me at the Juice Bar at 6 o'clock. And from 6 o'clock to 9, you got food, art, wine, and music. So,
all right. Food, art, wine, and music. 117 North 20th Street.
Sir.
Go down, get
North
you some 20th. Juice, and have a good time,
yes,
right?
Sir.
You, my brother, have what I call an empowerment center. That's what we're looking to develop around
an
the country.
Empowerment.
Places where our people can go for healing, right? You got all the tools that you need to help our people heal. So God has blessed you. And I want you to, before you leave today, we're going to end this segment and this show with a prayer. Let's go back to, if you don't mind, we're going back to Slido a minute. This next Slido says, congratulations. I have thoroughly enjoyed this segment. Definitely excited to hear you deliver as well. So you'll get a delivery customer out this deal as well, brother. So let's go over to the lines real quick. Let's see what our listeners got for you. 334-0148, you're up. You're first. You got Brother Ryan on the line. How you doing today? Welcome to the show. What you got for us?
Good afternoon, brothers. And it's good to hear a brother that's really up on the move. A couple of statements and then a question. First of all, let me just greet you by Tikkun Olam, repair the world. And I think of Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, where God gave all the seed-bearing plants for our nourishment. And as you were mentioning about Juice Life, what came to my mind was Billy Strayhorn for all of those elders who like music from back in those days. Take the A-Train is one of the his works and a piece called Lush Light, by the way. So my question for you, is, during your study time, did you find a big difference between juicing and versus blending at all?
Yes. Yep. So the biggest difference with that is when you're doing smoothies, like when you're doing smoothies or you're blending, it's kind of a 30 to 70% solid to liquid ratio. So you're going to get the fiber that's still in the fruits and vegetables to kind of fill you up. And so you'll get that, but you still have to go through the digestion process. So some of it is juice and some of it is solid. But the only thing that the fiber is good for really is aiding waste. So there's no nutritional value in that, but you will feel a lot more full. You'll definitely feel full with that. But you just get a lot more juice. Like you get straight juice when you're doing juicing, and then when you're doing blending, that's still a good thing. I still do smoothies every morning. I put my sea moss in there, and I put my bananas and my almond milk and stuff in there. And I do my smoothie, but I mainly do that when I'm working out. So because I know that it's going to take more than what I normally eat to be able to replenish a workout.
Very good. All the very best to you and your business. Sir. And wish you were a little
thank
closer,
you so much.
But you're being listened to from deep down south, Montgomery, Alabama. So all the very
best. Oh, my God.
Keep the blessings, brother. All righty.
Yes, sir. Blessings
right.
to you.
We
yes,
need
sir.
To get
thank
Juice Life down
call.
In Montgomery. Thank you, Brother Lush.
I see. I hear it.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Hey, it's amazing, right, this process. And this is the type of empowerment that we need, right? It's a step-by-step mm-hmm. process of developing yourself. You're refining yourself mm-hmm. spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, and you're pulling back from the system that is influencing our thoughts, our ways, our behaviors. They clone Tyrone. Hey. Anyway, all right, let's go back to the all right, 804. The last four is 6475. 6475, you're up. You have a question, a comment, a statement. For Brother Ryan, welcome to the show. 6475. Go on once. You just listening today? All right.
Hello?
Go on twice?
Okay.
6475? They just listening.
All right. Okay. All good.
Let's move on down. Let's move on down to 5416. 5416, you're live. Do you have a question or comment for Brother Ryan?
Yes, I do. I got late. I came late on the program, but I'm inspired by how you can just, sometimes you just need to tweak something, you make a change, and that change, mm-hmm. get settled in doing that change can make all the difference
yes,
in the world. You're not satisfied with what you're doing. Come up with a new idea. Do something. Experiment. Don't get dissatisfied. I ain't really that, start moaning and groaning. Do something.
Right.
Come up. God provides ideas, and he gives you an idea, and you run with it. You'll always mm-hmm. end up positive as a result of it. I'm inspired by hearing what you said. I'm going to be juicing soon, brother. Appreciate it.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother John. We appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in today. Brother Ryan, I'm inspired, right? And I try to eat as clean as possible, but these are the steps mm-hmm. that we have to take. And the more cleaner and the more clearer you can get, right, the more that you can be used mm-hmm. to flow in your purpose, right? So you are walking, talking model of what we need to do, right? And this show is specifically catered toward African Americans. So if you can get all of that stuff out of your mm-hmm. body, right? You talked about mm-hmm. the improvement of your eyesight, right? That you don't wear mm-hmm. glasses anymore
yep.
because of juicing and fasting. Can you talk about that as we get closer to the end of the show?
Yes, sir. Yeah. So when I was driving tractor trailers, I realized I couldn't see as well as I thought I could. And I think that came from me being on Facebook early on a whole lot. But, so I went to get my CDL. I think this was like 2013. I went to go get a CDL, and I started on my Class B, and then I had to take the DOT physical. Long story short, I could see line five, but I couldn't see the whole line five, and I was confused. I'm like, I don't even understand why I can't see it. Like, my eyesight has always been great. But I can only see there, and so they gave me glasses. They're like, at least at work, at least while you're driving, you're going to need to wear glasses. You need to wear glasses if you watch the TV. But I was always, always trying to not really go against medicine, but I knew that the medicines weren't really there to cure. They were just there to kind of, keep things comfortable. So I stopped wearing glasses as much. Like, I would pretty much take them off as much as I could. But then my son, he was 2 years old at the time, and he made my glasses disappear and couldn't articulate where they were. And so I stopped even looking for them. I actually had two pair of glasses, couldn't find them. But once I started juicing and once I started taking a few more things out of my diet, I got to the fire department, and I was nervous because I was like, man, I don't even have my glasses. They are gone. I'm not going to pass this physical. They're not going to let me do whatever I was trying to do at the time. I went to read, and I saw line five, and then line six started getting a little more clear. I just needed to be able to see the line five. And so I got five, I got six, and the next year I got the whole six. Next year I got the whole seven. And the other day I went with my kids to go do their physicals for school, and I was able to see line eight. And I'm like, okay, I'm with it. Like, I'm already convinced. I ain't trying to change nobody, thinking – I would like for people to change how they think and how they approach health and stuff, but I feel like my testimony is the biggest thing going for me in every area of anything. Anytime I got a testimony about it, I can go and I believe it myself. So I'm sold. So that's why I'm able to own product. Yes, sir. Yep.
You are the testimony, right? So for y'all out there who have eyeglasses, right? I'm not telling you to stop listening, right, to your optometrist, but really think about what the benefits are of juicing, right? The benefits are of your health and wellness, right, and having a clean diet and stepping away from all of the processed foods, right, and really taking care of your health, but developing your spiritual life. So, Brother Ryan, before we wrap up today, I want you to pray us out. Thank you. Before you pray out, give us some final comments, and then we're going to close out with a prayer from you as we wrap up this powerful, powerful show on health and wellness. Juicing.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I like that. Juicing is real. Juice life.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to Temple of Judah as well. All right.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead,
Bishop Evan Williams. Yeah. All right. So, I guess in closing, I just want to say, nothing has to happen overnight. Nothing has happened for me overnight, even my decisions to become vegan. I would say just make small changes. Everybody listening, just make small changes to your health. Try out new fruits and vegetables. You can pick one day out of the week. You can do just use smaller plates. I used to psych myself out with that. But at the end of the day, even if you don't stop doing what you're doing as far as eating unhealthy at times, definitely add cold pressed juice into your diet. Add that into your diet. But also ask God to give you guidance. You know what I'm saying? Ask God to give you guidance. And open doors need to be open and closed doors need to be closed. But you can always be a little bit healthier. So I would just say, take baby steps, but create a script and stick to it. Find out if somebody already did it before you. Find out what their script is and just apply it to your life. So that's all I can say about that. And don't give up. Yeah, don't give up. Because a lot of people may start off on the fast and mess up the second day. Don't worry. Get back on it. Get back on it. Keep your goals ahead.
All right. Get back on. Stay on. Before we wrap up, I just want to say this, right? My wife grew up in Temple of Judah. And so she said she know your mom and she know you and Reverend William. So. Her name is Latrice.
Okay.
She goes by Latrice. So I just want to give that shout out to Temple of Judah.
Yes.
And
yes,
let's wrap up with a prayer.
Yes, sir. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. Thank you for everything that's transpiring today. We thank you for the words that were spoken. We thank you for your spirit, for your light. I just pray that everybody that's listening is blessed spiritually, physically, emotionally. If it's a change of attitude for the day, let it be that, a change in perspective. But we just thank you for making us better. I pray that great doors are open, the doors that need to be open. Make it plain for us and let us walk through. And the doors that need to be closed, close them and make it plain as well. But continue to bless everybody listening with spiritual knowledge and just a thirst to live more. And I just pray that everyone's encouraged and that everybody's covered in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Ryan. We appreciate you. Y'all need to play this one back. And I'm going to end on this. Life and death is on your tongue.
Come on, man. Have a great week. Come on,
we'll see y'all next week.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Brother Ryan.
Yes, sir. Love.
Thank you, Brother George.
Yes, sir.
Peace and blessings.
Thanks, George. Yep.
Peace. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.